Good morning, everyone. It's Annie here. It's the 20th of March, 2021. And I'm excited to be here. There's just a couple of people with me on his more coming in. And I notice a lot of people listen to these recordings through the week. So thank you for that. I love the opportunity to talk about these things that have this weird fascination for me. It was really short notice for this call. I just suddenly got the urge only a couple of days ago, and it felt really clear to me that it was something that I needed to do. What triggered it is that it's the equinox today. So obviously the autumn equinox here in Australia and the northern hemisphere, the spring equinox, when night and day are of equal length. And traditionally the equinoxes and the solstices have been regarded as time for really powerful change. And if you're into that sort of thing, this goes all the way back to the times of Atlantis and Lemuria from channelings that I've listened to. And even if you don't believe in that, four times a year to pause for an hour or 2 hours and just think about what's working in your life and what's not working is not going to do any harm. And, you know, using some sort of healing techniques or invocations to bring about change. Even if the dates are only a benchmark for you in that regard, then that's as good a reason as any, it seems to me. I'm always about just being practical as well as everything else. It's also, tomorrow is the beginning of the new astrological year, the first day in Aries. The zodiac starts with Aries. Not very long ago, we had the Chinese New Year. So there's all these beginnings happening around now. I don't know about you, but I often feel in the lead up to the solstices and the equinoxes a little bit flat, just like I often do for a few days before a new moon, feeling the sort of dissipating energies with the ending of a cycle coming. And I'm really pleased when the time comes for this shift and I can start to, and I can, you know, do some practices about healing and progressing in my life and growing and expanding. And also it just starts to feel lighter. I can hear a little bit of background noise. If you press *6 on your phone, that'll mute you. If you want to unmute at any stage to ask a question or make a comment, please feel free to. But otherwise, if you wouldn't mind keeping yourself muted, it can help. So if you've been feeling a little bit flat or less energized than usual for the last week or two or three, you know, that might be partly what it's about for you as well. So I really like to honour these times of change. The other thing that I wanted to say about it is, with last year being and numerologically a fairly stuck year, and astrologically, you know, saying a year of deconstructing, excuse me, and this year is much more positive, both astrologically and numerologically. In numerology, a time for change for the whole year. Astrologically, some astrologers say the first 2 months of this year were the most challenging for the whole year, so it can only get better. The other thing is that last year there were astrologically a heap of retrogrades, and right now until nearly the end of April there are no retrogrades, and retrogrades are sort of to sit us back on our backsides and go within and do some review and reflection and healing from the past. Right now, the focus is on forward progression. So it's a great time to consider what might be holding you back, what you might be wanting to have instead, and doing these healing techniques of one sort or another to bring about those changes. Okay, so I sent out an email this morning asking you to think of a couple of areas in your life where you'd like some change, and the emotions that are associated with the problems that you're wanting to transform, and the emotions associated with how you'd like to feel in regards to those emotions. But before we get started into what we're wanting to change, I was just listening to the news this morning and caught my attention that I was driving about to collect my son and his partner to take them to the airport to fly interstate. And I was, you know, thinking how wonderful it is that we're not in lockdown. And then I heard reference to the fact that Germany are in their third lockdown, and I just thought how grateful I am yet again that we're living in a country where we can just be so relaxed about COVID compared with some countries where the medical personnel and the medical facilities are still being overwhelmed with seriously ill people and relatives losing relatives. So let's just start with being grateful for what we do have. So just, you might like to gently close your eyes, relax into your body, just bringing your attention away from the external world and just feeling back into and around your body, noticing how your feet are being supported by the floor. Your body is supported by whatever you're sitting on. Being aware of that support. And thinking right now, feeling into how your life is right now, and appreciation for all that you have and all that you be. That right now we're not living in massive fear about COVID. In Australia anyway. Thinking about the fact that you are safe. Thinking about all the people in your life who you love. The fact that you have food and clothing and shelter. The fact that you've been free to choose to listen to this call, either live or by recording. And the fact that you can afford the means to listen to it. You might like to feel appreciative of your health being as good as it is, even if it isn't how you'd like it to be. Being appreciative of who you are, the experiences, the adventures, the challenges, the opportunities that you have in your life. And again, being appreciative of this moment. We're right now. You are still and safe. You might like to invite that feeling of knowing you are safe and feeling gratitude and appreciation for the fact that you are safe to permeate your body. Taking a deep breath or two and just slowly coming back out. So now being a great time for change, and there can be things in our lives that we really want to change, and there can also be a part of us that is afraid of change. We humans are complex and paradoxical. Studies have shown that we're more afraid of success than we are of failure, for example. And certainly, although we might want things to be better in our lives, how they are right now is familiar. We know the rules of engagement. We've developed coping strategies. There's a sort of comfort in the discomfort of it, because waking up feeling the way we do is how we wake up. And it might not be what we want, but to wake up feeling confident, positive, happy, joyous, and leaping out of bed might feel a little bit scary, because it's unfamiliar. How would I live with that? And it might feel fabulous. So much of what we're living with in our lives that's uncomfortable, we've been living with for a long time, these patterns that we want to break. And so shortly we're going to use some tapping and some ask and receive to help us to break some of these patterns. And I'd just like to explore a few examples with you before we do that. And then I'm going to suggest that you pick one of the things that you've written down that you'd like to change and focus specifically on that while we do these healing activities. And then you can revisit the recording later and do likewise with the others on your list, because the more that we focus, the more specific we are, the deeper it goes, and therefore the more effective the healing is. When whenever we're just talking about something in a superficial way and not feeling it deeply, then the healing is more likely to be at a superficial level. So, for example, to say, I want to be free of fear, and keeping it at that, we're not really feeling the fear, whereas I want to be clear of the fear of that meeting next week, and we picture the meeting and feel the fear around that meeting. We're going to be clearing fear on a much deeper level than just a general, I want to be free of fear. Okay, so I thought I'd explore with you a little bit more before we start why these patterns can be so familiar. That the pattern, there are a couple of examples I put in the newsletter of arguing with a partner or worrying about money or emotional eating. And, you know, we can try and try and try and try again to break these patterns, and they keep coming back. So I just want to unpick this a little bit, because that's straight away, you know, all those try and fails can be really disheartening. And also we can be hard on ourselves. We can do the what's wrong with me that I can't change the way I eat, for example. Or what's wrong with us or with the other person that we keep arguing, or what's wrong with me again. And so if we can understand a little bit more about the patterns, we can take a shortcut and bypass the self-blame, which only serves to lock us in the pattern all the more. That, you know, why can't I get this right? Why do I keep doing this? Just really anchors it in. So I want to just help you to pick apart a little bit what might be really going on for you. So if we look at that pattern, excuse me, of arguing with your partner, and look at the emotions that come up around that, and it might be anxiety, it might be shame, it might be frustration, and then think, what beliefs do you have about that arguing? What accompanies that anxiety? I'm anxious because it feels as though the other person doesn't understand me or doesn't care what I think. We don't know what's happening for the other person, but finding the meaning that we give to the pattern and to the emotion that accompanies the pattern really helps to change it. So what we're doing is we're saying, what is the behaviour that's bothersome? What are my thoughts about that behaviour, and what are my feelings? And the thoughts and feelings especially will be associated. So the arguing, as I say, it could be, I don't feel important, I don't feel heard, I don't feel respected. The emotions could be anxiety and frustration. And this is likely to not just, just is not entirely an appropriate word to use there, not only about this partnership and this period of time where this arguing might have been taking place. It's likely to have its origins in your childhood, because the first 6 years of our life is when we download patterns of behaviour, ways of thinking, and our emotional field gets downloaded, because we don't get supported in allowing those emotions to change. And so with the arguing, what you can also do is, okay, how might I have learned as a child that I'm not respected, I'm not heard, that I'm powerless in arguments? And it may be that that's how you felt at home. It may be how you felt at school, from teachers, from other children. It also may be what you observed your parents doing with each other. If you had parents who argued a lot, the child downloads, people argue, people who love each other argue. The child downloads, I don't get heard, I don't get understood, etc. Another example, money, worrying about money, worrying about having enough money, can bring up beliefs like, there isn't enough, or I'm not enough, or I'm deprived, or I'm not worthy, all the anxiety that goes with that. And that can come from hearing parents fighting, arguing, worrying about discussing money, and also from being told, no, we can't afford it, money doesn't grow on trees, etc. And so we can grow up in that atmosphere of, there is not enough money. And what decisions, what might we have made about us in relation to money? Some children get made to feel guilty for asking for things or wanting things that their friends have but their parents can't afford. So we can feel guilty if we want to have anything and take pride in learning to live without, which can keep us stuck in that pattern of not having enough money, for example. Another one with emotional eating is so often about stuffing down emotions. One of the emotions that's often stuffed down around emotional eating is shame, and then the emotional eating compounds the shame. It can also be stuffing down fear or stuffing down frustration. The thoughts that can go with it that are being stuffed down might be, I'm not good enough, or I get the blame. Putting on weight, overeating can be a protective mechanism against false accusations, maybe getting in trouble as a child for things that weren't your fault, or just getting in trouble a lot. Also, from parents, we can learn that we don't get dessert when we haven't behaved well, that we get dessert or we get lollies or we get treats when we've done what we've been asked to do. And so we can learn that eating nice food means we're good, and so we're rewarding ourselves. And if we deprive ourselves of those treats, it feels as though we're punishing ourselves. So we've got that cross-wiring around the emotional eating, that if I go on a healthy diet, I immediately feel as though I've been bad because I'm depriving myself. People-pleasing. Worrying about what other people think. Very, very strong for us. All of these are actually associated with very primitive parts of the brain, because they're also about survival. You know, food is about survival, money is about survival. Maybe not so much the arguing, although that gets in the way, can get in the way of sex, which is again a survival part of the brain. People pleasing, the fear that if people get angry with us, we'll be ejected from the tribe and die. So people pleasing can be about fear, it can be about blocked frustration, it can bring up shame or guilt. And it's so often what's associated with it is, if I don't please other people, I'll be criticised, or I'll feel attacked, or I feel powerless to defend myself if other people get angry with me because I'm not thinking what they think, or I'm not doing what they think I should be doing. And again, this can really come about as children, where we learn it's not good to have the adults in our lives, our parents, our aunties and uncles, our teachers, coaches, clergy, not good to have them angry with us. So we learn very firmly to do what they want. Also, again, we can observe people pleasing in our parents' relationships. And as with the emotional eating, you know, the parents can be using food very much for emotional self-care. And alcohol, you know, the number of times I'd hear my mother or father say, oh, I need a beer, or I need a sherry, i.e. I don't feel good, so I'm going to have something that will make me feel good. Parenting's another one. Parenting is a guilt trip in so many ways, because if nothing else, parenting makes us want to be the best people we can be, and no one can be perfect. We've all got our baggage that we bring to the parenting. So what feelings you have about your parenting, guilt is likely to be one of them, anxiety might be another one. The thoughts that can go with that are things like, I'm not good enough, I can't get it right. And again, that can be downloaded from our childhood, when our parents are not happy with us and we learn to blame ourselves. So there's just a few examples. And so if you just think about what you've written down and how you how you feel about what's a problem for you and how you'd like to feel in that situation instead. And if you look at that, and there's two reasons why I highlight that. One is, when you look at what I've just gone through there with what's the action that you want to change, what are the emotions that go with it, and what are the beliefs that go with it, it can seem easy to just choose I'm just going to choose to eat healthily. All I need to do is eat healthy food. It's that simple. However, if we've still got the emotions of fear or shame about ourselves, they make us keep wanting to reach for something that will make us feel good. If we're still anxious and frustrated about the arguments that we have with our partner, then that anxiety and frustration is going to get in the way of us being able to speak clearly. It's going to get in the way of us respecting ourselves and hearing ourselves, which invites how we treat ourselves, invites others as to how they treat us. So often changing the beliefs can seem simple and changing the actions. So the belief could be, I deserve to be heard. Or the limiting belief is, I'm not heard. And we could say, well, I do deserve to be heard. And I do deserve to have interactions with my partner that are harmonious rather than acrimonious. But if we're still carrying anxiety and frustration from our childhood, that trips us up. Emotions have no sense of time. And so emotions that have still been associated with that pattern of behaviour from childhood, we'll keep anchoring it in. So we can choose in the present, I'm going to think differently and I'm going to behave differently. But when we say I'm going to feel differently, emotions just will not be told how they are to feel, because that's not the language of emotions. They don't listen to words. Emotions want to be felt and set free. And so that's the one of the other reasons to get clear about what these emotions are, what emotions are wanting to be set free. Because when I set free those emotions, then it will be easier to change the thoughts and the feel, and then the actions will dissolve away. The other reasons to get clear about what the emotions are that you don't want is because anything that we want is because of how we think it will feel. We want to have harmonious conversations with our partner because that will feel loving. It will feel peaceful. It will feel calm. It will feel fulfilling. It will feel good. We want to trust that we have enough money because then we'll feel safe. We'll be able to relax. We'll feel more confident. We want to be able to trust that we can say what we think, that we don't need to people please. And then we will feel liberated and free and confident. So often we're trying to change a behaviour because we want to try and because we want a different feeling. So why not take a shortcut to how can I feel good in this situation? And it's by clearing the blocked emotions from the past that's stopping us from feeling good in the here and now. The present emotions are triggering old emotions, or the old emotions in a lot of ways are triggering the present ones. If you think of it as, what if I still have a lot of anxiety inside me about pleasing people? So every time I'm with someone and I'm afraid of not pleasing them, that's an opportunity for that anxiety to be felt and released. And it can be anxiety that I've been carrying for years. And it's an opportunity for all of that to be released. When I'm no longer feeling anxiety from the present or from the past about being respected and heard, then I will be respected and heard. But while ever I am afraid of being criticised, because it feels like a really familiar pattern in my life, it's going to keep happening. I'm just wondering if we've got any questions or comments there before we move on, because we're just about to start doing some healing work now.
Hi, Annie. It's Susie here.
Hi, Susie.
try. I'd just like to say I'm just so grateful to you and how you explain things. It just seems like you've explained our whole a reason for being alive, I suppose, you know, is to get to the emotions and release them so we can be better people. And you just do it so well for me. I'm just so grateful. Thank you.
And thank you so much for Susie, for that, Susie. I really appreciate it. And what a lovely way of putting it, to free ourselves of these emotions so that we can be better people. I really like that. And I mean, that is the thing, that we're 70% programmed to be fear-based, to be survival-based, because that's guaranteed the survival of the species. So whenever we're seeking to be better people, in inverted commas, being more loving, compassionate, kind, understanding, forgiving, we're actually wanting to use more modern parts of our brain, the full frontal lobe, rather than the amygdala and the reptilian brain. And so it's really retraining ourselves. And if we can get a sense of, okay, this is the programming that I grew up with, and it's very similar for everyone, the negative aspects of it, the I'm not good enough, I'm powerless, I'm helpless, I can't get it right. We all have that to varying degrees, and we all have anger, fear, sadness to varying degrees, and we all want to be loving and compassionate, to feel safe, to be able to trust, to be joyous and happy, to have fun, to be free to choose how to be in the world and not have these old stuck emotions anchoring us back. So thank you for that, Susie. Just wondering if anyone else wants to say anything before we move on. Okay, seems not. So, in the email I sent out, I suggested that you think about what you want to feel instead of the emotions that there that you're not wanting to feel. And I just want to say, if you found this difficult, and you might have also thought, what behaviours do I want? What beliefs do I want? It's not uncommon. We can be so used to a pattern that goes on that it can be hard to think what the flip side of it can be. So, for example, you know, I can say to someone, what would you like instead of arguing, and they'll say, well, for us not to argue. And so then it's, yeah, but what would that be? What would not arguing be? Ah, it would be sharing. It would be mutual respect. It would be mutual listening, mutual engagement, mutual cooperation. Something like that. So if you're finding it a bit hard to think of what's the positive that I want rather than I don't want this negative that I've got, then you're not alone. And so I just want to quickly run down the list that I just went through there. The opposite of arguing might be feeling love and peace and connection. The opposite of worrying about money might be feeling trust about money. Belief in yourself, confidence that you will always have enough. The emotional eating instead of the unhappiness and the shame. You might want to feel self-love and healthy eating instead of the people-pleasing. Being confident to please yourself instead of being afraid of other people's anger. Confidence to speak your truth, and confidence that you have the courage to stand up to anyone who might respond with anger. with the guilt around parenting, having the belief instead of yourself, instead of that doubting yourself, belief and knowing that your intentions are always to be the best parent that you can be, and that that's all that can be asked of anyone. Okay, so let's start the fun now that I've set a bit of background. So what I'd like you to do, as I said a few minutes ago, is just pick one thing that you would like to change today. And you can keep in the back of your mind the other things that you've, the other patterns that you've noticed. And you can revisit them with the recording and tap along for them later. But right now, which is the one that you really would like to see a shift in? And what fears might you have about it changing? For example, having a harmonious relationship with your partner, where there's mutual respect and you listen to each other, might be scary because it might make you closer. Well, it will make you closer. It might require you to be more vulnerable instead of defensive. Healthy eating might mean that you look more attractive, and especially if you've been the subject of abuse, especially sexual abuse, it might feel unsafe to be attractive. So just thinking about any fears that there might be around changing it. And I could talk about that a lot more, but let's just get in and do some healing. So just a quick reminder of the tapping positions in case there's anyone listening to this call who hasn't tapped for a while. The first position is on the side of the hand, where if you were going to do a karate chop, you'd be hitting that brick and tapping on that edge there of your hand. The next position is the top of your head, anywhere on the crown of your head. The beginning of your eyebrow, right in the corner by your nose. The outer edge of that bone that goes around your eye, just in front of your temple. Centered under your eye, under your nose, in the groove, under your lips. Under your collarbone, that those two knobbly bones at the base of your neck going diagonally towards your armpit, 3 or 4 centimetres. And the last position is under your arm, which you can, at bra strap level for women, nipple level for men, which you can tap by crossing your arm over your body or by cocking your elbow out and tapping on the with the edge of your hand there. We tap quite quickly, 5 to 10 times on each position, but you don't have to count. Hard enough so you feel it, not so hard that it hurts. But you want to be doing more than touching your skin. Okay, so I want you to think of that pattern and the emotion that goes with it. And tap along with me and repeating after me what I say. Even though I have this pattern in my life and it brings up these emotions, think what the emotions are, and I have these thoughts associated with it, and I don't want this pattern in my life, I deeply and completely accept myself anyway. Even though there is this pattern in my life and I feel these emotions and I have these thoughts about it, I acknowledge this pattern and how it feels now. Even though I have these emotions and they don't feel good, and I feel them now and I can feel them from the past, I deeply and completely accept myself. Now tapping the top of your head, this pattern in my life. Eyebrow, this pattern in my life. Side of eye, these emotions that go with it. Under eye, any fear and anxiety that goes with it. Any guilt under nose, any guilt and shame. Under lips, any hurt and sadness. Under collarbone, any frustration and anger. Under arm, all these emotions. Side of hand that go with that pattern. Top of head and the beliefs that go with it. Beginning of eyebrow. Side of eye, just thinking of the beliefs. Under eye, beliefs including I'm not good enough. Under nose, I can't get it right. Under lips, I'm powerless or helpless to change this. Under collarbone, all the other beliefs. Under arm that go with this pattern. Side of hand, wanting to release these emotions. Top of head, just thinking about the emotions. Eyebrow and feeling into the emotions. Side of eye, allowing any memories to come up. Under eye, knowing that it is safe to do so. Under nose, because you are tapping and that will help the associated emotions to move through you and leave. Under lips. Under collarbone. Allowing thoughts to come up. To be released. Under arm. Side of hand. Releasing any judgment, self-judgment or criticism. Top of head about being in this situation. Eyebrow, releasing any shame, side of eye and blame. Under eye, being willing to let go. Under nose of what has been so familiar. Under lips, taking a chance. Under collarbone, I'm creating the space. Under arm, for new ways of behaving. Side of hand, new ways of thinking. Top of head, and new ways of feeling. eyebrow, and just letting yourself revisit it again in your mind while tapping. Side of eye. Under eye. Under nose. Under lips. Under collarbone. And under arm. Okay, I'm just having a rest now, I'm taking a slow, deep breath or two. You might like to give your hands a bit of a shake too. We take a couple of breaths after some tapping, it helps with the relaxation effect, but also just gives it time for the energies to integrate and come back into a new balance. So all we focused on then in the tapping was acknowledging what's there, and in tapping we're lowering the adrenaline and the cortisol levels, the stress around it, helping it to start to release. What we're going to do now is ask and receive to also release, and then we're going to come back to tapping to focus on what we want to bring in, and ask and receive to focus on what we want to bring. Let's just do a quick round though first of fear of this changing. Side of hand. Even though there's a part of me that is afraid of change, there's another part of me that really wants to feel better. And I accept both parts of me. Because we don't want to deny what's true for us. So if part of our truth is we're afraid of the change, then we acknowledge that. Part of our truth is we really want to feel better, we acknowledge that. So just repeating that again while tapping on the side of the hand. Even though there's a part of me that is afraid of change, there's another part of me that really wants to feel better. And I acknowledge both parts. One more time. Even though there's a part of me that might be afraid of changing this, there's another part of me that really wants to feel better. And I accept both parts. Top of head, this fear of change. Beginning of eyebrow, this fear of change. Side of eye, familiar with these old patterns, under eye, afraid of changing into new ones, under nose, fear of change, under lips, fear of letting go of the familiar, under collarbone, even if it's uncomfortable, under arm, this fear of change. Side of hand, but I like the idea of new possibilities. Top of head, as long as they feel good. Eyebrow, I like the idea of being open to feeling better. I like the idea of new ways of operating that feel fulfilling and rewarding. Under eye, I like the idea of feeling more loving and the nose happier, under lips more confident, under collarbone. I like the idea of change if it feels good and it's positive. Underarm, and it sets me free to be myself. Okay, so now we're going to visit this with ask and receive, and I'm going to do three clearing rounds of asking and receive. The first round is the pattern, the behaviour, so the arguing or the emotional eating or the people pleasing or whatever. The second round will be the emotion, and the third round will be the beliefs that go with it. Okay? Cool. So if you're not familiar with ask and receive, it's based on the principle that there's a part of us, you might like to call it your higher self, your wiser self, your inner knowing. There's a part of us that is more powerful, loving and wise than the rest of us and has the ability to bring change into our lives and growth and healing and expansion. Okay. So repeating after me, you don't need to tap, you can if you'd like. There's a part of my being that already knows how to heal and release this pattern of behaviour, what this pattern represents, all of its roots, and its point of entry. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. And take a breath. And just giving that little bit of time to do its shifting and clearing. Okay, so the next one is a focus on emotions. So I'll say these emotions and you just lifting inside yourself, or doesn't matter, you're muted, what the emotions are that you're wanting to release. Okay? There's a part of my being that already knows how to heal and release, clear and dissolve these emotions of what these emotions represent, all of their roots and their point of entry. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information, information transfer is now complete. Couple of breaths. And now we'll do the same for the beliefs. And these beliefs can seem so very true, but given that they so often originate in our childhood, they are thoughts and decisions made by subconsciously by 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old child. And really they're lies. You know, that little child can decide, I'm not good enough, and that's why mummy or daddy are cross with me. Not true. Only a child. Mummy and daddy are only human. Or I'm powerless. Well, not really, even as a child, but can be put in positions where we come to think that we're powerless and we continue to think that as adults. Or nobody cares about me. We are always deeply loved. And so these beliefs are really lies that we believe to be true. And I'm going to name them as that in this round of ask and receive. And then you list those, I'll again give you time to list the lies associated with the pattern that you're wanting to clear. Okay. There's a part of my being that it already knows how to heal and release, clear and dissolve these lies that feel so very true, such as and that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. And take a breath. And now just one about clearing the fear of change. There's a part of my being that already knows how to heal and release, clear and dissolve this fear of change. What this fear represents, all of its roots and its point of entry. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. Heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. I hope that you're feeling a bit lighter and freer after those clearing rounds. I'm sorry I forgot to suggest at the outset, but you can do this for the other patterns that you want to, if you decide to work with the other patterns you're wanting to change, is look at the pattern, the beliefs and the emotions associated before you start the tapping to clear them, and feel into your body and notice how your body feels. Your whole body might feel when you think focused on this pattern. Your whole body might feel tight or heavy or tense or churning or aching, or there might be parts of your body that have various sensations. And then after you've done the clearing, checking and seeing how it feels then. And if there's a change in how your body feels, then you'll know that the changes that you're sensing are really meaningful, because all this gets stored in our body. If our body feels better, it means we're in a better place mentally and emotionally. Okay, so now let's tap. So thinking about how you'd like the pattern to be instead, whether it's that you and your partner have a connection based on cooperation and understanding, and the emotions are love and joy and peace and fulfillment and calm, for example. And let's start tapping that in. So if you're still feeling weighed down by the old lies, the old emotions, and that pattern of behavior, you might want to redo the tapping to clear it that we've just done, and redo the ask and receive. You want your stress level around this issue, where 10 is massive stress and naught is no stress. You don't want to start bringing in the positive until your stress level is no higher than 4, because you want fertile ground for the positive to come in. So if your stress level is still 5, 6, 7 around the issue, do some more clearing yourself first. It'll pay off in the long run. Okay. So thinking about the new way of being that you'd like, especially the new way of feeling, because the new way of thinking will be what makes the behaviour change and what makes the thoughts changing. So repeating after me, tapping on the side of your hand. We're going to use questions to open to new possibilities, because affirmations or statements our mind often argues with. So repeating after me, tapping the side of your hand. What if this can be totally transformed? Top of head. What if there can be a miracle of transformation around this pattern? Beginning of eyebrow. What if I can feel really good in this situation? Side of eye. What if I can be feeling love in this situation? Under eye. What if I can be feeling happiness in this situation? And joy. Under nose. What if I can be feeling calm and at peace in this situation? Under lips. What if I can be feeling positive and confident? Under collarbone, what if I can be feeling trusting and believing in myself and others? Under arm, what if I can feel free to be me in this situation? Side of hand. And just keep on asking yourself what if questions, top of head, around the emotions that you would like to feel in the situation. Beginning of eyebrow. Side of eye. Under eye. Under nose. Under lips. Under collarbone. Under arm. Side of hand. And what if I can believe in this situation, and all situations for that matter, top of head, that I am good enough? Eyebrow, that I am worthy and deserving. Side of eye, that I am loved, loving, and lovable. Under eye, that I am powerful. Under nose, that I am capable. Under lips, and just listing the other beliefs that you would like. Top of head, under collarbone. Under arm. Side of hand. Top of head. Beginning of eyebrow. What if this whole situation, side of eye, can be transformed? Under eye, what if I've lived with the old way for long enough? Under nose, what if positive change is possible? Under lips, what if I am open to new beginnings? Under collarbone, what if I am receptive? Totally receptive to feeling good. Under arm, what if I can always know that I am safe? Side of hand, that I'm worthy and deserving. Top of head, that I live in an abundant world. Beginning of eyebrow, filled with blessings. Side of eye, where it is safe to be happy and positive. Under eye, to have fun and play. Under nose, to love and laugh. Under lips, to experience tranquility and harmony. Under collarbone, to experience adventure and freedom. Under arm, to be filled with love. Couple of breaths there. Just to pause for a moment, we're about to go on to ask and receive. Just like to check if there are any questions or comments before we go on to ask and receive. Just unmute yourself, star 6.
Susie again, Annie.
Yes, Susie.
It's always me, you know, but I just get so sort of inspired and moved by what you say. And automatically I started tapping on the opposite side to usual when you said the first question, what if there could be transformation? It was like, holy dooly, that's not staying in the mire and wallowing around and, you know.
Yeah.
Looked at it, and now you're saying, yoo-hoo, you know, this can really change.
Yeah, that's, I love that, Susie. Thanks so much for sharing. That's awesome. Tapping on the other side. Hallelujah.
It just happened. I got so excited. I'm feeling really light now.
Yes, I reckon. Absolutely. Ah, yep. Change. Change, change, change. Cool. And that's what this whole year is about. Thanks for that, Susie. I love it. Okay, so now some ask and receive. Just thinking. We'll do the pattern and then the emotions and then the beliefs, I think. Okay? So there's a part of my being that already knows how this pattern can be. Just name how you'd like it to be, the behavior. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. I'm just going to digress for a moment and take a breath or two. It's good to, I feel, to create a little bit of space for this to happen. What happens for me when I'm asking to clear something is it feels as though energy is going up out of me. For some people, I know it feels as though it's draining down into the earth. For me, it feels as though it's going up and out. I think of it sometimes as the cosmic vacuum cleaner taking it. And when there's healing energy coming in, it feels as though it comes down in through my head and my shoulders and my body. And it can feel really dense and really heavy. And I'm noticing it very strongly today, both when we were doing the clearing and especially now with the ask and receive. What I love about the ask and receive is it's, with tapping, it feels as though we're controlling it a bit more. With the ask and receive, it feels almost a sort of more spiritual process. And I just felt then just such a strong download of healing energy coming in for us all. So I couldn't help but share, like Susie, with her excitement about tapping with the other hand. You know, we really are heard when we come together with a reverence and a positive intention. We're always heard. I don't think that I certainly don't remember to ask for support as much as I know I could, to ask for healing, to ask for transformation. But we're certainly being heard today. Now, it could feel completely different for you and you might not feel anything. I promise you, I didn't feel anything for a long time. I went through the first two trainings, level one and level two training, in Reiki and didn't feel a thing. And there were other people in the class who were seeing past lives and energies were happening and their hands were getting hot. I could have been a rock. so So if you're like that, nil desperandum, A, it doesn't matter. It's going to happen. What counts is your intention in the long run. What counts is your intention in the short run. And B, with practice, you will probably start to feel more. It's a bit like the first time you go to the gym, it's hell, and you wonder why people get excited about how good it makes them feel. Okay, so now let's do emotions. So I'll give you the opportunity to list the emotions you want to feel. There's a part of my being that already knows how I can feel these emotions in this situation. And I'll just throw in love, peace, joy and freedom because they're pretty universal for all situations. Almost. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. And take a breath. And lastly, the beliefs that you want to have. There's a part of my being that already knows how I can believe and know and live that. And I'll just add, I am enough and I am powerful. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Information transfer is now complete. And I'd like to now to finish up. Use ask and receive to ask for a miracle of transformation that radiates into every area of our lives. Miracle of transformation within, because our outer world is always a reflection of our inner world. How we feel about ourselves gets played out in our lives. When we change ourselves, how our lives play out changes. Okay, so there's a part of my being that already knows how I can be open and willing and receptive to a miracle of transformation taking place within me that dissolves away old patterns and programs that are ready to leave and radiates love, peace and joy into every area of my life. And that part of my being is willing to inform the rest of me now. It's doing so now with grace and ease. My heart, mind, body and spirit are receiving this information. Just take a breath there. Information transfer is now complete. And taking a couple of slow, deep breaths. And just noticing how you're feeling generally now. You might like to go through this process with some of the other patterns today, or you might feel cooked, so to speak, and like to do it over the next few days or even the next few weeks, whatever feels right. And of course you can revisit this recording at any time going ahead if there's something that's challenging you and you really want to dig deeply. One of the reasons that I love group work, one of the primary reasons, is that having more than one person working together on similar issues and with the intention of healing, makes it so much more powerful. And Deepak talks about this with his global meditations. It's whatever technique you're using. A group of people get together with a common intention, and that intention exponentially is more powerful. So much, so much expanded. So listening to this recording and doing it, the energy of the recording is in it. And so listening to it at any time, rather than doing it by yourself, you will most probably find much more powerful. You might not, we're all different, but experiment. Okay, so that's me for today. You might like to make a comment before we finish. Unmute yourself by pressing star 6. Comment, questions. No? Okay, well thank you all very much for being here today. It's really lovely to be able to share this healing work with everyone, and keep me posted as to what happens in the coming weeks and months. Sending you all much love. Bye for now.